88.3 Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless, calling, calling home.
Welcome to episode 33 of our Planet Earth series, a series in which we look at our home planet. A joint report by three United States government agencies projects that the rise in ocean height in the next 30 years could equal the total rise seen over the past 100 years. The agencies are the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the United States Geological Survey. Their report concludes that sea level will rise by 25 to 30 centimetres on average above today's levels by 2050. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson said, and I quote, "Science is indisputable, and urgent action is required to mitigate a climate crisis that is well underway," end of quote. In the past 5 years, scientific understanding of the processes that contribute to rising seas has really advanced. This gives more certainty over how much sea level rise will happen in the coming decades. Now, NASA has released an online mapping tool to visualize the report's sea level rise projections, and this will assist agencies at federal, state, and local levels to use the report to inform their plans on anticipating and coping with the effects of sea level rise. Now, Ben Hamlington is the team lead of the sea level change team at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and he describes this publicly accessible software that allows the investigation of the data record on sea level changes. This feature comes courtesy of NASA.
Kind of stepping back and understanding what NASA is trying to do in order of trying to understand the underlying science of sea level, but also to provide useful information for planners, practitioners, coastal populations. So satellites are going to play a critical role in monitoring the processes that cause sea level to change. I've talked about a lot of those satellites that we use, the processes they measure, and give you an indication of how you put these pieces together to make an evaluation. So what can NASA do to provide useful information? So it really requires these integrated assessments and a dedicated translation activity in order to get this into the hands of planners and to those that actually need this information. So what NASA did was created the NASA Sea Level Change Team in 2014. This is the team I lead. It's 70 plus scientists from government and academia, so spread across the United States. And our public face, kind of our outlet for information, is the web portal at sealevel.nasa.gov. So that was a really important part of this effort for us to put out tools and guidance, give easy access to the underlying data, to the satellite data. But we have two goals of this team. One is to provide improved forecasts of sea level across a range of timescales. So that's really a scientific goal. Our other is to connect with practitioners and stakeholders to define and provide useful sea level information, right? So it's, how do we take our improved scientific understanding and actually generate guidance that's useful? So getting an assessment of how sea level has changed in the past, the processes that are contributing to that sea level change, and what that means for the future. So we're going to kind of span the full range here. We have the data analysis tool, which gives us a look at some of the satellite data that we've talked about. We have what we call the Virtual Earth System Laboratory, which we'll talk about with those ice sheet fingerprints. We have a sea level evaluation and assessment tool where we have kind of that budgeting activity. I did it on a global scale, but we also do that regionally, where we try to put the pieces together to understand the sea level change that's happening. We have a very recent IPCC AR6 sea level projection tool. So this is an easy access to the projections that are provided by the AR6. And then last, similar to what I just showed with that case study, we have a tool where we put all the pieces together and talk about the amount of flooding days in the future. We have a variety of information related to what we see from the different satellites. So here we have that time series location of global mean sea level. Get a short explanation of what you're actually looking at, why it's important, what it means. And you can do that for the satellite altimetry. You have it here for the GRACE satellites, and then also for ARGO, for the steric height. So you can get easy access to this information. You can interact with some of the data in a very simple way like this. We also have these understanding sea level pages. You get really nice explanations of why sea level is changing and a discussion of the observations that we use in order to understand this change. And we do break it down by global and regional sea levels. So this data analysis tool allows us to very easily compare the data that we have from the satellites and other observations, see what's happening on a regional scale, do some simple comparisons between variables, and just gives us a really quick and easy look at the data. And we're going to focus in on the satellite altimetry data as soon as it's open. So there's some information here that that can be useful, certainly as the first time you go into this. You can move around anywhere here on Earth. You can zoom in easily.
And Ben Hamilton, the team lead at the Sea Level Change team at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, had these comments about the clustering of coastal flooding.
And then one other result here that we did, we actually looked at the clustering of these events. So when I say there's going to be an additional 50 days of high tide flooding at some point in the future, those 50 days are not spread evenly throughout the course of a year. They're actually clustered at different time periods during the year. So you might actually see in your coastal location a month where you have flooding every single day. And that's really what we're trying to assess here is when do you see the peak? What would the peak month be under these different projections in these future decades? So if we just take Honolulu, for instance, there from 2035 to 2039, under this particular scenario, you would expect an average or a peak year of about 8 or 9 days per month. But as you go forward into the future, so 2050 to 2054, your peak month is going to be up to 25 days of flooding a year. So these are a month. So these events are going to cluster. So again, trying to put these pieces together, the timing of them, it's really important when you're trying to make this assessment.
That was Ben Hamilton, and this has been our Planet Earth series.
Earth below us, drifting, falling, floating, weightless.